The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we continue to examine the challenging speech that Jesus gave to his apostles just prior to sending them out to evangelize the surrounding towns and villages. And listen to the demands that he brings in. Let them sink in. There's some intense and almost unforgiving demands here. But a little examination of this is in order. Is there anything more demanding or intense than our love for our families? Is there any more intense feeling than that of a child for its parents, or vice versa? A feeling that lasts for the whole of one's life. How many new parents that I have been around exude a feeling that their lives have changed forever after the birth of their first child, especially the first one? When the second child gets born, then they start wondering, are we ever going to find out which one broke the lamp? But there seems to be an unspoken sense that the parents would gladly die for their children if they had to. The new child's presence in their lives reveals to them that their lives are no longer just about themselves anymore, but about their children's well-being. But we hear Jesus saying in the gospel today that unless you love me more intensely than you love your children or your parents, you're not worthy of me to be my disciple. Then think of the obligations that our love for family puts on us. Because you love your parents, you have a whole set of obligations to them. To spend time with them, to obey them, to honor them, to care for them in their old age. Part of this is because of the fact that the parents carried through on a whole set of obligations to their children. You know, having to do with money, education, protection, food, clothing, teaching right from wrong, and so forth. And again, we feel these obligations usually for life. But we heard Jesus say that unless you are more obligated to me than to your family, you are not worthy of me. One question we might ask ourselves is, how is this even possible to make this happen? Maybe we feel debilitated and beaten by the kind of love and obligation that Jesus is talking about here. So, here's my take on it. The first thing to notice is, have you noticed that Jesus often exaggerates to make a point? Right? So, in one place he says, if your hand is your problem, cut it off. Better for you to enter eternal life maimed than to enter Gehenna with both hands. Did he really mean that you should chop your hand off? I don't think so. But we human beings, not just Jews of Jesus' time, we human beings use that sort of speaking all the time, don't we? Just like I did, all the time. 100% of the day, we use this thing of speech. I've seen that a million times. No, it's probably more like 672, but it's a lot. but you exaggerate to make the point. So that's my first point on this. And the second is this: God is God. God is the good itself. God is the truth itself. He is justice itself. God is the sheer act of being itself. The one thing he cannot be, if we are serious about our Christianity, is peripheral to our lives. One thing among many concerns, but just one thing. The one thing that God cannot be is secondary. And if we allow him to slip to that level, then we are really not following God, but perhaps some idol that we have fashioned. If God really did create us, our spouses, our children, and the world that we live in, then he must be a priority in our lives. How do we do this? Should we all become monks and nuns and live our lives out in prayer in some monastery? Well, St. Augustine had a wonderful way of looking at this. He said, "I love other people and other things more truly when I love them for the sake of God." In other words, I love other people and other things more effectively and fruitfully when I love them because God commands it or gets glory from it somehow. Does God command that I love others? Yes, he does. Therefore, he is not asking us to jettison our love for family, but to situate that love in the context of the highest love, which is that for God. When I don't do this, even my love for parents and children tends to become skewed, self-interested, perhaps even manipulative. It is possible to say that I love my parents or children, but actually be using them in some sense for my own purposes, such as when a parent sometimes tries to live out his or her life through that child rather than let the child be who he or she was created to be. You know, when I was in seminary, there were a few men there who joined because of a parent, usually a mother, rather than because God called that man to be a priest. But the ones that was true for, they discerned down the line, this is not what God is calling me to. But when I love family for God's sake, I know that I am not loving them for my purposes, but so that this person can be free for their own mission and relationship with God. You might say, I love my work. I love my job. I love my social life. Well, good. But when I love these things for their own sake, that tends to become self-absorbed, self-referential. But when I love my job for God's sake, now I see it as part of my mission from God. Now it takes on a whole new meaning, and I am detached from it in some sense. That's why the disciple has to be someone who loves God above all things. Otherwise, that discipleship will be inadequate. Jesus also says today, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Notice that Jesus isn't saying here simply, accept sufferings as they come. No, he's saying, take up your cross every day. Willingly take up your cross as Jesus carried a cross. And what was Jesus' cross? It was a suffering on behalf of others. Not just dumb suffering. So Jesus is saying, if you are to be my disciple, you too must be willing to help bear the burdens of those around you. The disciple says, my life is not about getting rid of the burdens around me. It is about helping others bear their burdens when that is appropriate. When the disciple gets out of bed, he or she says to God, Lord, show me how I can make lighter the burdens of others today. Maybe I can help a lonely person bear the burden of their loneliness. Maybe I can help someone who's financially strapped or hungry or thirsty, homeless, afraid. Jesus sums all of this up by saying that if you cling to your life, you will lose it. In other words, let go of your life and your illusion of control, and God will give you true life. That's the paradox at the heart of the whole gospel. The one way to make sure that your life will crumble in your hands is when you cling to it, demanding that your will be carried out. Jesus said, let go of it into my hands, and you will get back 30 and 60 and 100 fold. It will become fruitful in ways that will shock you. Yes, the life of discipleship is full of demands, but those demands are the key to joy and fulfillment. Love God above all things. Willingly take up your cross. Let go of your life, and your joy will be complete.